Well, let's turn to Colossians and pick up our study where we left off. And again, Mickey and I thank you for allowing us to be gone last weekend and for all your hundreds of prayers. Just a lot of love was flowing and a lot of peace. Verse 19, it pleased the Father that in Jesus all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross, making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who once were alienated and you were enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith and steadfast and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh that what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. Last message we looked at, verse 23, the if of salvation. If you continue, there's a big if there, in the faith, grounded and steadfast and are not moved away. You know, church and Jesus and faith and heaven, you know, it meets people and some people take it for a little while and then they walk their own way. Last night, as I finished the service and started to walk out to my cars, it was cool to see there were two San Diego police officers that were backstage listening to the Bible study. And I thought, how cool to have a couple of angels, on duty on their break to sit down and listen. But at the same time as they finished, there was a man roaming this neighborhood with a gun. And SWAT guys were all over the place. The news media pulled up in the parking lot here. And I thought, how cool it is that heaven watches after us, that a guy right in the 7-Eleven could come over this way. And had he tried anything, there were two SWAT officers right behind my pulpit. They're real short guys. You couldn't see them. But they were in the back of the platform. And I was able to talk to a few of the guys, the dog handlers and things, and the guy ran into the apartment buildings over there, and it was all taken care of. But, you know, the Lord looks after us, and many times we take that for granted. And that's why this if we continue is very important. If we don't continue steadfast and grounded in the faith, we're open targets. We're just nothing in this world. We're totally exposed to the evil spirits and to the devil himself. And it's how you look at things. You know, somebody once said there are basically only two kinds of people in the world. There's the person that wakes up and says, "Good morning, Lord." And the other person says, "Good Lord, it's morning." It's how you look at the world when you get out there. And some people forget the Lord in all conditions. It has to be the coffee. You know, can't even begin to face life without your coffee. I read in that same newspaper that I was reading these silly little things about an argument a husband and wife had about who made the coffee. And her discussion was, "I want you to start making the coffee in the morning." "No, that's your job. You make the coffee." "No, you should make the coffee in the morning because you get up earlier than me, and then you don't have to wait as long to have your coffee." And the husband says, "I won't mind waiting for you to make the coffee because you're in charge of the kitchen and it's your responsibility to do the cooking, and cooking comes under the category, or coffee comes under the category cooking. It's your responsibility." She says, "No, biblically it is your responsibility. It's the man's responsibility to make the coffee." "You're telling me it says in the Bible that the man is supposed to make the coffee?" And she said, page after page after page. And she opens up the New Testament and she turns to Hebrews. I'm telling you, there's some strange things in the newspaper. Really strange things in the newspaper. Very important for us to stay grounded and continue in the faith. All right. Well, you're all with me, I see. It's all the coffee mourners. And notice it's mainly men that are grumbling right now. It's not the women's. It's the It was right there in the Bible. You know, a little boy says to his dad, I know what the Bible's all about. And he said, you're too young. He said, I know what the Bible's all about. I can tell you what it means. He says, well, what does the Bible mean? He says, B means basic. I means instruction. B means before. And L means leaving. And E means earth. That's what it means. Basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. And the dad said, I think you got it. And that's all he's saying here. If you'll continue strong and steadfast and grounded in your faith. And how do you get the faith? Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And you need to be a person that is building your faith by reading God's word. So Paul says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is lacking, the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known that what the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I actually think without a doubt that this is one of the most brilliant scriptures in the New Testament. Very powerful scripture. When I first read this many years ago, I pondered that and I pondered it. And then I was invited to go hear a man, Major Ian Thomas from Torchbearers and from Cape and Ray College in England. And this was his specialty, was the book of Philippians and Colossians, the whole concept of Christ in us. Jesus lives inside of us, and there's a race to run, and we forget the things that are behind, and we reach for the things that are ahead and the high calling in Jesus Christ. And when I began to grasp the idea that Jesus lives inside of me, it took me many years to mature, to grow to a place I began to realize, well, if he's living inside of me, then he's reaching out in my hands. He's looking at you through my eyes. He's loving and being compassionate through my heart. He needs a vehicle, and I need to die to myself more so that he can be glorified through me to reach more people. Christ in you, I'd like you to underline that in your Bible. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 27, that is a basic Christian verse that every Christian that goes to heaven should know. Would you say it out loud with me? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You need to see that it's not a religion. It's not Mormonism. It's not Baptist. It's not Pentecostalism. It's not Catholicism. And it's not Protestantism. It's not occultism or sectism. It is Christ in you that gives you the hope of glory. The hope of glory is not if you're baptized into my denomination or my sect or my church. The hope of glory is not if you are on the tithing rolls or you make it to the prayer meeting. The hope of glory is if Jesus Christ is living inside of you. That's where the hope of glory comes from. Anything else is a waste of time. It's just religion. But the moment you accept that Jesus Christ is in you, you're no longer your own because you were bought for a price, and not with silver and blood, but the silver and gold, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now, in verse 26 and 7, he brings up the concept of this whole thing two times that it is a mystery. Verse 26, even the mystery, he says, which has been hid. So it's a hidden mystery, and most mysteries are hidden from view until it's revealed. And he gives us a timeline. The hidden mystery is from two things, ages, number one, and generations, number two. But the third part of the timeline is now. Ages, generations, and right now, today, as you read the verse, is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. Well, most mysteries are somewhat negative, we think. This mystery is full of riches and glory for you, the saint. So this isn't riches that you're going to be having a lot of dollar bills stacked up on your nightstand next to your bed, or you're going to have a lot of gold coins in your safe deposit at Bank of America. This is a richness that you cannot buy in this earth. This is something that's going to propel you for eternity. This is the riches of the glory of God through his son, Jesus Christ. And it's hidden all in a mystery. And to those men and women that are his sons and daughters, he reveals this mystery. Now, some of you have been God's sons and daughters for many years, and yet you don't know the answer to this mystery. It's never been revealed to you. You've never taken time to go into Colossians and say, well, holy, you mean I have an inheritance from my uncle, and he left me $3 million, and that's been sitting in the bank for 17 years, and just because I didn't understand my uncle or like my uncle, I never went to get the will read to me, so I missed out on $17 million all these years, these $3 million for 17 years? Same thing. You could be one of God's sons or daughters, never ever taken the inheritance. You're just chugging along in San Diego in your own energy, in your own flesh, and struggling all the time instead of letting the mystery of his great riches and glory be revealed to you. So we have a mystery. We all like mysteries. But I like to point out the timeline. It's a secret. A mystery is a secret, of course. But look at the timeline he tells us there in verse 26. This mystery is from ages and from generations. The word ages is a word that sometime was used in the Old Testament in the Bible to mean for angelic beings or their appearance. It's a word that is aeonis. And aeonis, or eons as we call it, for eons and eons, beyond years we go out into space when we think of an eon. So he's telling us that there has been a mystery beyond anything you could ever think of in your mind as time. Our history is only about 5,000 years old. I know the evolutionists would like to say we're millions and millions of years old, but you can only trace the human race back 5,000 years. The oldest document found on the planet Earth happens to be the book of Job. It dates back about 5,000 years. We know that there are great sea serpents at that time, and there probably were dinosaurs at that time 5,000 years ago. We also know a great ice age came. We also know that there was a population somewhere in man's history, just by probable mathematics, go backwards in time. There had to be 8 people to bring us to today's present population. And Noah's Ark was 8 people. And the people before that were wiped out with the great flood. And eons go beyond all of our written history of the last 5,000 years. It goes beyond all the millions of years evolutionists would say the dinosaurs were here and everything else was here. But this is a great key to those of you that care. I'm a person that cares about the things of creation, and I've always been inquisitive. And this is a great key to unlock some little areas of my mind so I can think in a new area. I like to think new. And what it tells me is that for eon after eon after eon, and how many we don't know eons or ages there are, God has always been there and had some activity going. We just weren't part of it. Now, the next word you'll look at in verse 26 is the word generations. Now we're getting into our time zone. You and I understand generations. My sweet dear mother is sitting over here, and a week from Tuesday, she's going to be 90 years old. Right, Mom? Yeah. She's been around for generations. She's got 4 generations. Let's see, you got me and you, and then you've got, we'll say, Philip, and then Philip has Cole. So there's 4 generations right there that are around. There's 4 generations of people, and I remember my grandmother, her mother, and then I remember my great-grandmother that I was a pallbearer at her funeral, and she's 100 years old. And I can see 6 generations. So generations, we understand generations. There are times that we can focus on and say, oh, that was the generation during the Great Depression. That was the generation during the Civil War. That was the generation during George Washington and the Minutemen in 1776. That was the generation of Queen Isabella and Christopher Columbus, 1492, sailed the ocean blue. We can see generations. So God is opening your mind to think. There's been a lot of articles this last weekend on television how we're being lied to by the media. And articles that are saying that all the news from Iraq is not true. And it is interesting, and being with men that have fought there, when they've come back, they say there's a different war being portrayed on television that's actually being fought in Iraq. And the majority of the people are so thrilled that they're there. Why? For the first time in over 30 years, they have freedom of speech. They can say anything they want and not be executed. For the first time ever, they can have anything on television they want, and the newscasters can say anything they want. For the first time ever in 30 years, they can be entrepreneurs and make as much money as they want and not be taxed to death or beat up in the middle of the night by some thugs that come in sent by the government. But our press goes and interviews Ba'ath Party members and people that supported Saddam Hussein, and we get nothing but negative from the Iraqi people. So you stop and you think, okay, if we're being lied to, until you come to this concept of what's going on in this world, it's almost like a matrix that you're sitting there on some machine or something. God took you just now from eons and eons, not from weeks and days and months and years and decades and centuries and generations. He just stretched our minds beyond anything you've thought of all week. He's been there before time. But when time was instigated, eons, which could be trillions of years, plural, ages, plural, are gone past. He zeroes it down into generations about the time the Bible started, when God created the heavens and the earth. Out of all those eons of whatever went on, he's now in the generational part. So he takes us pre-Adamic, before Adam. And then he brings us to Adam. He brings us to ourselves here today. We're listening to his word in a generation that's been duped and lied to. A generation that is fueled by the largest age group in the history of the United States of America that is aging very quickly. That their retirement plans and pension funds have been raided and robbed, and their Social Security is bankrupt, and their pension funds, if they work for the cities or the states and the big corporations, have all been taken. All their hard work for many years as young adults put into the dot-com era, made money, and everything collapsed, they lost it. And we're going to have millions and millions of people without any medical care or any housing or oil, dental, lots of people that won't be able to walk very well. And you're going to have a selfish group of people that are going to have to use their business acumen to finance this old dude's generation, and we had it all at once. We were the peace childs. We were the tune in, turn on, and drop out. We're the ones that went against society but ended up becoming the most materialistic group in any generation. And this generation, we got to watch out what's going on here. We got to watch out. It's like our city, we need 125 new cops a year just for the attrition rate, but we're not hiring. And we have the drop program where most of our management is leaving within the next 36 months. And they're not doing anything to hire. And it is too hard to be a reserve officer where you can get people to volunteer because they now have made it so stringent. You have to go to the full police academy, work a full-time job, and be in the academy full-time. And so, in many areas, you don't see as many police cars as you did before. Our fire department, they're getting ready to do brownouts where fire stations are going to be closed down parts of the day because they can't afford. There's no overtime, so officers are working late and coming in late. Because the crime keeps going on, they maybe stay an hour and a half, they're not getting paid, but they might come in an hour later the next day, but then they're not on their shift. Who suffers? You and me. You see, there's a lot going on that we're not paying attention to, and God is saying this has been happening for eons and for generations. There's a great mystery that has never been revealed. But in these last days, God has revealed his great mystery to his saints. Now, what is a saint? Is a saint something plastic you put on the dashboard of your car, or you put it on your dresser at home and you light candles around it, or you buy a necklace of the saint and wear it and that's going to protect you? No. A saint is one that is a member of God's family. One that is holy, not because of their own holiness, but because of God's holiness in them. So the church is made up of what we call saints. But some factions of the saints lift people to a place of sainthood because of some great works they have done. So millions of people in that church would say, well, I'll never be a saint. But the word saint is literally found hundreds of times in the Bible, so freely, so easy, by anybody that has faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're into the generations that things have been hid from us, it's time we seek the one that can take the mystery away from us. Think of this here. In Deuteronomy 29, 29, you want to memorize this verse. And I'll read it to you from the New Living Testament, but you can turn in your Bible, whatever one it is. There are secret things that belong to the Lord our God. Deuteronomy 29, 29. But the revealed things belong to us and our descendants forever, so that we may obey these words of the law. Let me read that again. There are secret things that belong to the Lord our God, But the revealed things belong to us and our descendants forever, so that we may obey these words of the law. So my great-grandmother, who immigrated from Ireland to Canada and brought the gospel with her and her husband, ended up in Oregon, and she was able to pass the gospel on to her family. And my mother heard the gospel, and many of her family heard the gospel. It didn't stick on everybody. And it came to me, and I heard it for many years, and then finally I surrendered to it. And now I look at the generations going on that all of my kids know the Lord. And Sandy's family came to know the Lord before they died in the last couple of years. And from generation to generation, the things that are hidden belong to the Lord, but the things that He reveals, they're ours forever, for every generation, and it's our responsibility to pass them on. The secrets of God are His, but when He reveals them, they're ours, and we can hold on to those forever. One Marine said on Saturday, I said it Saturday night and again on Sunday, before they left to go back home, we now have to go back and tell the other soldiers, the other troops, that we're not crazy, we're not bad people, that there's hope for us, that we'll live through this. Now, that's what evangelism is. Evangelism is just one person telling another person that's poor and homeless where to find a free meal. And that's all it's about, is you taking what you have, not holding on to it, but pouring your heart out. In the Greek, the word mysterion is what we use for mystery. And it defines a secret imparted only to the initiated. What is unknown until it is revealed, whether it be easy or hard to understand. So there's been a mystery hidden for eons, and a mystery been hidden from generations, but it's been manifested. And the word manifested to His saints means to make apparent. And we must always remember that God knows all mysteries. There are no secrets. But in the mysteries, we get riches of the glory of this mystery. Great wealth from God. In Colossians 2:3, Paul wrote to this church and he said, "In Jesus lies hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Now that's something. In Jesus lies all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, and Jesus cannot share all the riches of wisdom and knowledge in one classroom in San Diego Union School District. All wisdom and knowledge and its treasures cannot be shared in a classroom anywhere in the Christian nation of the United States of America, and yet Jesus is the sum total of all wisdom and knowledge. You don't think you're being lied to? You don't think you're a frog in the kettle and your environment has changed on you? Things will get better? You're very deceived. That verse just destroyed the lie for you. If the Bible says it, in Him, Jesus, lies hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, you can now understand why this book is outlawed in the hands of children in schools. Because people came in during our generation, our watch, and have taken our country from us, and we don't even realize it. It's not ours anymore. We're taxed more. Now I think the taxing used to be May, and I think it's in July. That we now work from January 1st to the second week or first week of July, just paying all the taxes we pay. We pay taxes on our gasoline, federal taxes, state taxes, and city taxes. That's tax on tax on tax. And that's taxation without representation. That's just on the gasoline. You're taxed on everything when you die. They've already taxed you for everything you had and accumulated before you died. Then they tax you when you die. That's taxation on taxation. You're taxed when you buy something at Nordstrom's. You're taxed when you go in to get something to eat at a restaurant. You're taxed when you go into a grocery store. You're taxed when you go to the dry cleaner. You're taxed everywhere. You're not working for yourself. You don't have any real wealth. Oh, you don't know my house. My house has really gone up in value. I own this house, and this house is my savior. Oh, yeah? You think you own that house? Why don't you just go a couple of years without paying the property tax and you'll find out who owns that house? You don't own that house. The government owns the house. You don't make the payment, they get the house. Now, is that right? You thought you were working for yourself, didn't you? No, all the riches of glory are hidden in Jesus Christ, the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. King Solomon said that the beginning of knowledge and wisdom comes with the fear of God. There isn't one of you school teachers here today that has the privilege to verbally speak about the fear of God in your classroom. You'd be out so quickly. But boy, if I was going to stand up and say how important it is for you men to have sex with men and you women to have sex with women, boy, that's really your choice and that's your freedom as an American. See how sick it is? You don't think you're being fed a lie and nobody's saying anything about it? You're pretty deceived. But the fullness that's been hidden of the mystery for generations and ages is all wrapped up in one person, and his arms stretch the ages, and they both have nail scars in both of them. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 3, verse 8 and 9, Paul said it this way to this church. Just think, ladies and gentlemen, though I did nothing to deserve it, and though I am the least deserving Christian, I was chosen for the special joy of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Jesus Christ. I was chosen to explain to everyone this plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. You see, in the book of Peter, it says that the angels sort of look down from heaven at the Gentiles and at the church, and they're amazed. Why would God let his son, who ruled and created the entire universe, come down, be a man, live a perfect sinless life, and then let those people murder him? He's kept this hidden forever, but is revealing it now, that if you will believe in your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and you will confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord, you're going to be saved. There isn't a medicine in any hospital or in any pharmacy in this city that can keep you going forever. But there is a faith that resides in your heart, because God has given to every person a measure of faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall people hear except the word be preached? And how shall be preached except a man be sent? And so it's being fulfilled right in your eyes right now, that Jesus is the sum total of all wisdom and knowledge. He did create everything. He's been there way before your mind can imagine time. God is going on without you, ladies and gentlemen. But he wants you to go with him. Like that little boy said, what the Bible means, basic instructions before leaving earth, get to know him through the faith that comes through the scriptures. And then he said to the Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 7, in Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. It's not according to what you have done. Well, I prayed for hours. Well, I worked in the ghettos you name it, in New Delhi. Gee, I sacrificed. I was a missionary for 2 years. I did everything the church asked me to do. You must be aware that the Bible warns us there are many deceivers out there that are preaching another Jesus. It's not the same Jesus. And they are ministers of unrighteousness that transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. The word transform is the word metamorphosis. It is the caterpillar climbing up the tree and going out on the limb and spinning a cocoon around himself. And time passes, and the caterpillar goes through a transformation, a metamorphosis, and the cocoon breaks loose in the spring months, and out comes this beautiful butterfly. Started out as one thing and was really something else. If you didn't like a caterpillar, you'd be amazed if you turned your back on him, because he's going to be so beautiful as a butterfly. But Paul the Apostle told the Christian church in Corinth, there are many that appear to be butterflies that are actually caterpillars. They make a metamorphosis. They look like they're righteous, but they're ministers of unrighteousness that are trapping people with weak minds and spirits that don't study God's word. You don't have any test for them. You're not able to judge. You won't know them by their fruits, because the gift of discernment is dull in your heart spiritually. And oh, they do good works, and their families are so nice, and they're great business people. But it's another Jesus, Paul said. It's another Jesus. Well, how could this be? They cried out to him. They just seem so lovely, and they're so organized, and they're such wonderful members of the community. He said, it's no wonder. For Satan himself can metamorphose, transform himself into an angel of light. Wow, how many of you have seen the angel of light? Wow, he dazzled you when you were 16 years old, didn't you? Wow, when you turned 21, whoa, the angel of light, you're free. No, you were always free. The fact that you think you're free because you turn a certain age, well, I can drive now. I can vote now. I can drink now. All of those are signs of bondage that has been upon you. I'm free. I'm free. And if you don't think there's a bondage on you now on the bigger scale of things, you're deceived. If Satan can transform himself into an angel of light, what does that tell you that Satan ultimately is? He's an angel of darkness. He's not an angel of light. His light has gone out. He who used to bear the light lost the light because he deceived himself and iniquity was found in his heart, Ezekiel said, when he said, I shall be like the Most High. And how often I'm guilty of that I'm going to do this, or I'm going to accomplish that, or I'm going to go here, I'm going to do this and that. No, what do you want, Lord? If Satan, who is dark, can look so appealing to the whole world, that now we got shows on of the queer eye and all sorts of things, homosexuals kissing and just filth all over our TV sets, and nobody is boycotting. You know, I like what happened to Kmart. They went broke. I'm sorry Kmart went broke, but I remember back in the early 90s that there was a group of people that said, we have discovered you're selling more pornography than anybody in the United States, America, through all of your book outlets. Stop that. It's destroying our families. And they just laughed at them. And so they organized a movement and they stopped buying. Same thing with Paul Molitor. They started supporting the cult. AT&T, all the groups that have supported all the homosexual, all the things that are evil, all the things that are destroying America, people just stop buying. And boom, the stock market has fallen. There are a group of people that are very concerned about this. Then there's another group of people that are really goofballs. They burn down buildings in the guise of ecology. Now stop and think of this. The damage that cost, $20 million worth of damage. $20 million right here in UTC. And I watched the videos of that. And I saw all that burning. And here they are saying, save the tree and hug the owl. And yet they burned the tree that had made the beautiful housing for people that have no place to live. They've caused more harm, more damage, inflicted more pain and suffering, and more ecological damage to future jobs in San Diego than those initial trees that were chopped down. Now, I have a cousin that owns a lumber mill in Washington. And when Mount St. Helens blew its top, it devastated for miles and miles around the trees. And I said, Jerry, that was really a horrible thing. I bet that really hurt your lumber mill business. And he said, no, just the opposite. It made business go up for us. Other businesses went down. But we were able to help the people and the government by logging all those dead trees out. And we were able to mill them and cut them and put them to use. Now, you see, you can get on your cause. And you can wave your banner, and you can march in the street, and you can have your alternative lifestyle. But ultimately, is that the great mystery that's been hidden for generations and eons? Is that really pleasing to the sight of God? Is that really natural? God didn't know how to make a man's body to fit with a woman's body. The two shall become one flesh. He didn't say two men will become one flesh, or two women. He said the two, male and female. You don't think you're being lied to? You're a very deceived person. There's a mystery. And the mystery is about the riches and the treasure and the depth and the power and the glory of God that's been hidden, that he says, I'll reveal to you now, that you, my dear saints, can come alive in the spirit because you're dead in the spirit and Christ can live in you. And that's the hope of your glory. That Jesus Christ lives inside of a woman. He lives inside of a man. He keeps purity flowing. Your veins are flooded with his love and compassion. It's not a religion of works. It's not what you are doing or the church is doing. It's what he's doing through us. It's us dying to self. It's us, if any man will come after me, let him pick up his cross and deny himself and follow me daily. It is a discipline. It is a hard life. It is not an easy life because the options are too many. They're all around us. And we can, oh, the pleasure of this. Oh, the wonder of that. Oh, the glory of this. Oh, the feelings of that one. Whoa, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I married my boyfriend. No, you're in bondage. And if you want to give the final kiss of death to the United States of America, say nothing about the gay marriages. I thank God there's a man in the White House and that there's a Pope that are speaking out against this. In the English, in the New Testament, the word grace is always the same word. Found over 170 times, charis. It's a word that means something so beautiful. It simply means God's favor. The riches of his grace, God's favor. Don't you want God's favor? God's favor is waning from our country. God's favor is waning from our media. God's favor has definitely waned from our education system. God's favor is waning from politics. Do you see any powerful political things on the... No. It's all according to plan. The devil thinks he's winning. But it's about you now. What are you going to do? Do you want the hope of glory? Do you have any hope at all today, let alone the thought of some glory? Do you have a vision for eternity, eons from now? Where are you going to be eons? Where are you going to be generations? Where are you going to be an hour from now? We're all going to die. It's just, boom, you look at your life right now, most of it's gone. You're going to die. And if you think it's going to be some wonderful thing, look at Uday and Husay or whatever it is, Husay. They buried him yesterday outside of Tikrit. Here's a guy, one of them I saw at a party with all the girls, and just Mr. Showoff with his guns, waving it in the party, and they're drinking and loading it and sticking it in there and showing that he's got a gun and being a big shot, and the cars and the Ferraris and the Swiss bank accounts. And they would go through the streets and see pretty young women, and they'd say to their bodyguards, go get her, go get her, go get her. And they'd bring these girls home and have sex with them. Even if they're teenagers, they were the king's sons. They'll do what we want to do. They had everything, billions of dollars. They drove off with a truckload with $1 billion in cash, these brothers did. Everything the world could give, and the devil would give you if you had no morals. Just live a wicked life. Did you see their graves on television yesterday? Just about 40 people standing around them in a pile of dirt. Just a pile of dirt where they're putting dirt and put a little flag on top of it, and wasn't even a decent burial that their radical friends gave them. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? How do you gain the whole world? Well, I can have any kind of sex I want. Okay, that's your world. Well, I can beat up anybody I want. Okay, that's your world. Well, I'm going to be a movie star. Okay, that's your world. I'm going to be the richest person in San Diego. Okay, that's your world. I'm going to be the most glamorous model in all the magazines. Okay, that's your world. See, you all sit here and say, well, I'm not trying to rule the world. Well, Kevy P might be, but you're not trying to rule the world. You're just wanting to rule your world. And so the devil just keeps building your world with lies and deceptions and images and, ooh, feelings and, ah, clothes and, ooh, views and houses and vacations and, whew, and there's my world and I'm the king of this world. I've gained, this is mine. Wow, I'm really finally successful. Look at all I've got. Oh, here's a little door over there. I got a camera. I can see who's coming. I don't want them in my world. Don't want them in my world. Well, not them. Their kind isn't welcome here. Oh, she can come in my world. Oh, he's very influential. He can come in my world. And you deceive yourself. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? What a mystery. It's revealed. Christ in you. And as we take communion, all you have to do is say, God, if you're there and I've missed you all these years and I'm being lied to and I'm deceived, I want to know you. If my lifestyle is wrong and I'm wrong, I'm willing to surrender. But if your pride is so strong, you're not going to say that. So you don't want to take communion because you damn your own soul. You'll say, well, why didn't I understand this? Well, hold it. You were told this. No, I wasn't. And all your life will be played back to you when God was trying to reach you. All of it. You see, when you take this cup, it reminds us of the blood of Jesus that was shed for all of us, for all the world, for all ethnic, for all cultures, for all diverse lifestyles, for everything. Is God mad at everybody for their diverse lifestyles? Absolutely not. Is he mad at the people that want to be rich? Absolutely not. God so loved the world. Not God was so mad at the world that he gave his only begotten son. God so loved the world. He let him die instead of you. He said, all right, no other price, no religion needs to be paid. My son is free. Take him. The bread reminds us of the body that was broken on that cross. The back that was whipped 39 lashes with that Roman whip. Blood pouring out everywhere. I couldn't imagine that. Can you imagine the agony and the pain of that? Can you imagine that? Oh. God is so good. You're such a unique group of people. Who would have ever thought that your pastors would end up at Ground Zero and be in charge of training those that would get permission to be at Ground Zero? It's just a phenomenal deal. And through all that, I became friends with so many people in the New York Police Department. And one of them was the chief of police and many assistant chiefs. And I got a call from one of the assistant chiefs on my cell phone. Well, actually from another police department who knows that this man and I have become friends, trying to get a hold of me. Hey, Jack, what can I do to help you? I'm standing over here looking at a new building on Balboa Avenue. I want you to pray for me for this. Well, I got some serious news here. The chief's grandson was just murdered in Oceanside. Now, what would the odds be that the grandson of the chief of NYPD and his son would live right there in Oceanside, and he wanted to see if I could help get him a job, but yet when it came down, and then I was able to call our county sheriff and say, sir, you know, I don't ask favors, but the chief of New York Police could use a personal touch from you and his son. He said, I'll get all the reports, I'll handle this. And our sheriff, working with him and investigating, got in a fight at work. Who would think that you'd get in a fight at work? Some of you have seen fights at work. Push, shove, get out of my office, get away. Somebody mad. What are you doing using my coffee? Hey, that's my printer. And one of them just got upset and pulled out a knife and stabbed the grandson, 20-year-old kid. He jumps in his truck holding his guts and starts running out of blood and rolls his pickup truck on the way to Palomar Hospital. But you see how God was along the scene all the way with people trying to help that boy. All the way till the moment he died. God's going to be on the scene following you high and low and in between, and he's going to be working overtime and trying to get in the nooks and crannies of your life to just go, riches of glory, hidden treasures. You're being lied to. You're talking about, oh, man's millions of years old. I'm telling you that my creation's been going on for eons and eons, and this is just a vapor. Your life's almost gone. Just as we're singing together, remember what's in your hands. That somebody loves you so powerfully, who saw for eons and eons from the left to the right, from everlasting to everlasting, knows everything there is to know, the sum total of wisdom and knowledge. He realized that if you could experience his love and forgiveness, you could be born again. That bread, the pain he went through, the suffering he's watched you go through, the setbacks, the failures, the hurts, the misunderstandings. That body was broken, ripped open in the back, nailed in the hands, nailed in the feet, a spear jammed right up in his side. It says blood and water came out, so more than likely his left side, for the water that surrounds the heart pouring out. They began to grab his hair on his face from his beard and actually yanked chunks of flesh off of his skin. Well, who would do that but a sadist? Why would they yank his beard? Weirdos. Otherwise, Jesus let every vile, weird person and thing in the last moments of his life to attack him. Full of all their wrath and vile poison. And yet, with an open heart and open arms, forgive them, Father. They don't know what they're doing. You can get offended if you want. I don't care if you get offended about truths that were spoken. But you can't get offended that he loves you. If the lie has grabbed your mind and Christ is not in you, confess to him today that you're a sinner and that you want him to take your sin. And 1 John tells us, if we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Imagine being a sniper and having to pull the trigger on a teenage boy that's just getting ready to kill 8 of your friends. And he's got his rocket-propelled grenade ready to kill them as they're getting ready to walk down the street. But he doesn't see that you're on a rooftop a block away. And through your telescope, you see the breadcrumbs of the sandwich the boy had just eaten. And you've got to make a decision if you're going to pull the trigger or not. Imagine God looking down from heaven and seeing the breadcrumbs of your life. And instead of pulling the trigger on you, says, son, will you die for him? Will you die for her? You know how much I love you, and I wouldn't ask you to do something if it wasn't based and steeped in the riches and treasures, the mystery, the glory of my love. Will you trust me? And so Jesus said, put me in the crosshairs, and I'll take the bullet for them. Have you ever heard so much love before? That somebody you can't see loves you, that they're not talking about a ring in an anniversary party every year. They're not talking about getting into bed with you and having feelings and emotions. They're talking about, I love you so much that there's something going on so big forever and ever, and you're blind and don't see it because you believe the lie. I'm willing to break through all of that, come into your realm and die for you, and then rise from the dead, and then lead the way to my Father's house. Wow. It's a big story. And it's history. His story.